If you love Snapped, Women Who Murder, you're going to love listening to true crime or mystery titles on Audible. The audio title I'm diving into again is one of my favorites to revisit, Mindhunter by John Douglas and Mark Ulshaker. Even if you think you know the details of the cases, former FBI unit chief John Douglas took on from documentaries or the scripted show, the audio title goes above and beyond in bringing you along with him in his career, trying to catch serial killers and serial perpetrators. He used psychological profiling to dive into the minds of notorious criminals. The title includes his hunt for a killer in Alaska, the Green River Killer, and so much more. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. It is the home of storytelling, after all. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/snapped or text snapped to 500-500. That's audible.com/snapped or text snapped to 500-500.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hi, Snap listeners. We're bringing you a special bonus episode today from Oxygen's hit series, Snapped Killer Couples. You can also watch full episodes on demand on the free Oxygen app or on Peacock by clicking the link in our description. Enjoy.
She was a beloved pastor using her gifts to help her congregation.
She is a healer. God has gifted her with the ability.
She's able to see things that a normal person wouldn't see. She can go deeper into the spirit than others can.
But a merciless attack destroys her home and leaves her clinging to life.
When first responders arrived, the house was fully engulfed in flames.
Stabbed 27 times, received countless burn injuries and wounds.
People were shocked. They couldn't believe it. Why would somebody want to do this?
To answer that question, investigators will expose the dark side of a seemingly devout couple and unearth secrets steeped in bitterness and black magic.
She knew spiritual work. You know what spiritual work is.
Both were so involved in this voodoo magic.
It just overtook any kind of rationality that either one of them may have had to start with.
And a survivor comes forward with a story of perseverance and faith.
A lot of people don't understand how I got up. It had to be God.
Baker County, Georgia is a friendly southern community where neighbors value the peace and quiet.
It's certainly a close-knit community. Everybody kind of knows everybody. Everyone kind of looks after each other for the most part. Crime is, for the most part, fairly limited.
But on the afternoon of Monday, April 24th, 2017, the sheriff's office receives a frantic call from 35-year-old resident Ramona Newton.
Okay, what's the problem? It's a fire. It's a problem. You went out the fire? Yes.
Ramona Newton reported that the house that was next to her was on fire, and the police then find out that Ramona's next-door neighbor is her mother.
I explained to them that my mother's house on fire. I told them I heard a lot of noise and ran out the door to see what was going on. And when I beat in that corner, that's when I seen nothing but flames.
Ramona fears that her 61-year-old mother and local spiritual leader, Georgia Green, is trapped inside the burning house.
Okay, we're getting a dispatch now, okay?
I ran around the house two or three times. And finally, about that third time, and this is when I heard my mama's voice. And when I turned around, she was laying down with her hand up. I couldn't see, I seen blood. I seen a lot of blood. So I went and called 911 again.
I understand, okay? Who started the fire?
I don't know. I'm coming to house. My mama's house up there. And my mama in the woods. Somebody throw my mama in the woods.
A lifelong resident of Baker County, Georgia May Green grew up on a small farm in a large family.
My grandmother, she had 10 children. It was a lot of other families there in the community, and the kids used to get together and play.
In her 20s, Georgia had two daughters, Rhonda and Ramona, who she raised on her own.
It was mostly just the three of us for a long time.
She raised two daughters on her own with no help. And I think she did a pretty good job by herself. She taught us how to cook, clean, everything that was necessary. We was raised by a strong woman.
Much of Georgia's strength and the strength of her family stemmed from her religious faith.
My mother was brought up in the church. Her religion and faith was number one in my mother's life. That's what she was all about.
Ever since I can remember, ever since I was little, we was in the church. And then when we moved out on our own, you know, my mother continued to take us. And then she started wanting to participate, wanting to do more in the church. She started preaching in her living room. We would get up on Sunday morning, have Sunday school, and have church there in the living room. And we just had a nice little family church.
My mother was the type of person to welcome anyone to a church. It don't matter what religion you was. If you need help, you was welcome to come to the church.
Through the church, Georgia met her second husband, Luke Griffin.
He called himself a pastor also. And so they was married, and the little congregation continued to grow.
Georgia is not only a pastor, but she does marriage counseling and other types of spiritual counseling.
She calls herself a healer. A lot of people come to her for healing, and they come for her for counseling.
She actually had a place in her home specifically laid out to do these counseling services. She had candles and incense burning, all sorts of things to kind of make people feel comfortable.
Over time, Georgia's congregation became an extended family, but her relationship with her husband, Luke, began to falter.
They got divorced probably around 2004.
Luke moved out of the house he shared with Georgia, but he didn't go far.
He loved so much, he didn't even leave off the land. He stayed right there.
He built himself a little house out there for himself, and he lived out there on the property. I moved my house there too, and my sister later on bought a house and moved there. All the houses are close together.
The land surrounding Georgia's home became a safe haven filled with family and friends. Until the morning of April 24th, 2017, when the pastor is found stabbed multiple times outside her burning home. As Georgia's daughter Ramona speaks to 911 dispatchers, family and friends begin gathering in the front yard of Georgia's house.
She finds her husband, Brad, her mom's ex-husband, Luke, and then she also finds Lenoris and Kim Williams at the house.
Ramona immediately yells for the group to help her move Georgia to safety.
She called for help, and Brad and Luke came running.
We didn't have no time because how she was breathing, I knew she was hurt bad.
They found out that the ambulance is gonna take a while, so they just said, we've gotta get her to a hospital as quickly as possible.
Luke, he rushed her to Miller County Hospital.
Moments later, police and firefighters arrive on the scene.
When first responders arrived, the house was fully engulfed in flames. The fire department tried to put the fire out. By the time the fire was extinguished, the house was a total loss.
The hard thing about arson investigations is the evidence is likely destroyed in the fire. And that's obviously something we have to prove, that this was intentional.
At this point in the investigation, anything's possible. You have to keep an open mind and look at all leads and follow everything through until you have a better idea of what happened.
Coming up, investigators turn to those who know Georgia best and learn about a person of interest with alarming intentions.
He apparently hadn't accepted that they were divorced.
She real strange. He loved her to death.
But an unsettling admission will take the case into supernatural territory.
In jealous rage, she put a curse on him.
In Baker County, Georgia, 61-year-old Georgia Green has been rushed to the hospital after being found outside her burning home, the victim of multiple stab wounds.
My sister, Ramona, she called me and woke me up. And I had to kind of like get my head right to understand what she was saying to me.
And I said, I need you to go to Miller County Hospital. Mama been hurt. I need you to go there.
I was like, I was in shock. I was just trying to stay strong and just go and see what was going on.
As family members rushed to the hospital, authorities at the crime scene try to figure out what happened.
They were able to establish that the fire was not an electrical fire. It was not a pan that had sat on the stove too long with grease and caught the house on fire.
Upon further examination, it was determined that the fire was started by means of an accelerant.
There was no question in this case this was intentional.
We like to examine the crime scene to try to find evidence to suggest who committed the crime or how the crime was committed. In this case, we were inhibited in doing that because the house was a total loss. It was burned to a crisp. We began to sift through the debris in that area of the residence, and multiple knives were located. The knives were burned to indicate that they had been there when the fire occurred.
Once the knives are collected as evidence, investigators head to the Miller County Hospital to check on their victim.
They talk to hospital staff who say they're working to keep her, you know, stable at this point, but she's in critical condition. She can't talk, and they're getting ready to transfer her out of the hospital to Dothan for treatment.
She had multiple strokes while she was in the hospital after the stabbings.
She stabbed 27 times, and quite frankly, looking at the condition that she was in, I didn't really think she was going to make it.
Considering the amount of knife wounds, it was a definite attempt to kill Georgia, not just an assault that occurred spur of the moment.
When investigators ask Ramona about who might want to harm Georgia, Ramona says her mother doesn't have an enemy in the world.
We learned that Ramona was inside her house when the incident occurred, and she went outside to see what was going on.
I told them Nanaris, Kim, Luke, and my husband Brad was already over there.
Finding it suspicious that Georgia's ex-husband was present at the scene of the crime, investigators question Ramona about Luke Griffin. She reveals that the couple has a complicated history.
It was all right in the beginning, but Luke and my mother were two of a kind, so I don't, you know. It's kind of hard to get along when, like that. They had two different ways, and sometimes they just don't work out, so My mother and Luke, they decide to separate but continue being friends.
He apparently hadn't accepted that they were divorced, and he kept telling people they were together.
Luke's strange. He real strange. I'm just saying that he real strange. He love her to death.
Investigators quickly turn their attention to Luke. They find him at the hospital, waiting for an update about Georgia.
When we met with Luke, he told us that he and Georgia were still married and that they lived together at the residence. But we knew Luke and Georgia were separated, but still lived essentially in the same area on the property.
But Luke insists he had nothing to do with the attack on Georgia.
Luke Griffin went through everything and explained the chain of events as he had seen it.
Luke tells investigators he was helping Ramona's husband, Brad, in his garage around 11:30 a.m.
Luke and Brad were loading up scrap metal when they saw some vehicles in Georgia's yard, and then they saw smoke coming from the house. Shortly thereafter, they were approached by Lenoris Williams, who's told them that the house was on fire.
When detectives speak with Brad, he corroborates Luke's statement and confirms the two men had been together all morning.
Luke's statement was consistent with the scene as well as the chain of events. We were able to rule Luke out as a possible suspect.
Investigators next asked the family how they know Lenoris and Kim Williams and why they were at Georgia's house.
Lenoris and Kimberly Williams had gone to her for blessings and for counseling through their marriage.
She taught them, counseled them. Anything they needed help with, she was there to give them inspiration and guide them through it.
Lenoris and Kim had been seeing Georgia for a while, and they showed up the morning that everything happened.
Kimberly and Lenoris were there in a vehicle, and at some point it was discovered that they locked the keys in the car, so they left the area on foot.
Now the GBI wants to talk to the two witnesses who have left the scene. So they issue a bolo for Lenoris and Kim Williams.
Time is always of the essence when you talk about criminal investigations. Those first interviews with witnesses is just crucial.
As news of the attack on Georgia spreads, the community rallies around her family.
The entire community is becoming aware of what's happened. This was right near the Baker-Miller County line. So now you've got Miller County getting involved in the bolo. You've got Baker County in the bolo. You've got the GBI in the bolo. And now with the community knowing what's going on, now they're invested in this bolo and they want to find this couple.
Less than an hour later, Kim and Lenoris Williams are spotted on foot, 2 miles away from Georgia Green's house.
The sheriff in Miller County actually was able to locate Kimberly and Lenoris Williams at a cemetery, and so he ended up following them.
When the deputy attempts to speak with the couple, Lenoris tries to walk away.
He seemed to be agitated, was acting very suspicious, according to the sheriff, which, of course, that sets off warning signs right away when someone acts in such a suspicious manner when you're trying to find out about what they may or may not know about the crime.
He decides he's got to take the couple into custody.
At this time, there were no arrest warrants for them. However, they were being detained for the furtherance of the investigation so that we could figure out what was going on.
One of the first things they wanted to do was get their side of the story, to interview these two individuals and see what they had to say about the fire, who might have started it, what they might have seen.
Coming up, investigators sit down with their persons of interest and uncover a possible lead.
He said there was a black male that went into the house and left, and that's when the fire started.
He went in and stayed about 20, 25 minutes. He came back out, kept licking it up.
It's harder to focus than ever these days. Thankfully, C4 has reinvented the energy drink game with C4 Smart Energy, the only energy drink clinically proven to provide enhanced mental focus, containing 200 milligrams of natural caffeine, a blend of vitamins and zero sugar. It was formulated to support your well-being and help you feel your best, all while enhancing mental focus. From your brain to your body, C4 Smart Energy does it all and tastes amazing. Look for Smart Energy in the beverage aisle at your local Kroger, Albertsons, and Safeway grocery stores. C4 Smart Energy. Stay focused. Do you ever feel like you're settling? For your foundation, that is. Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation doesn't settle into fine lines and wrinkles. With SPF 20 and moisturizing Pro Vitamin B5, this foundation not only provides medium coverage and a natural finish, but also protects and nourishes your skin. And the best part? The blurring sponge tip applicator makes application a breeze. Say goodbye to cakey, uneven foundation, and hello to a flawless, radiant complexion. Try our new foundation today and see the difference for yourself at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
In Baker County, Georgia, 61-year-old pastor Georgia Green is in critical condition after being stabbed more than 24 times inside her home.
People were shocked. They couldn't believe it. I mean, they were like, your mama don't bother people. She always trying to help people. Why would somebody want to do this?
Authorities have detained married couple Kim and Lenoris Williams, who were present when Georgia's house erupted into flames. On April 25th, 2017, one day after the attack, investigators sit down with Lenoris.
We now want to talk to a law enforcement officer, which is myself and Charles, about Georgia Green Griffin.
We helped that lady. Okay, go ahead.
That's what we're here to talk about.
Okay.
We began to ask him, why was he over there? Why were you going to see Georgia? And Lenoris explained that he and Kimberly were seeing Georgia for spiritual healing.
Do you remember what time that y'all went?
I said about 11:30. Because I remember I looked at the clock with 11:53.
Okay. Who was there when y'all pulled up?
I don't know no people.
Was there a lot of cars?
It was two other cars.
They waited outside for some time while two other clients of Miss Georgia were seeing her. One was in a white vehicle that left pretty soon after they got there. Another in a blue vehicle that went in, stayed for a while.
Was it SUV or?
No, it wasn't SUV, it was a car.
And it was blue?
It was not navy blue. It was some kind of
like a light blue?
Basically.
Okay. And how many people were in it?
Just him.
White guy?
Black guy. He went in and stayed about 20, 25 minutes. He came back out licking. He kept licking at us. Mm-hmm. Kept licking it up.
He said there was a black male that went into the house and left, and that's when the fire started.
We seen smoke, you know, and I went in the house. You know, I'm trying to see was she okay?
Lenoris claims that he couldn't find Georgia.
Well, it's thick smoke. It's in me, so I got to come out and get a little air. I'm trying to get to this woman, trying to get help out. So when I did, I told my wife, I said, hold on, let me go get my son-in-law. He was outside. So I ran up there and got him.
So yesterday, back to that.
Okay.
So what were y'all going out there for yesterday?
We're going to talk to her, ask her if we needed help.
Lenoris explains that he and his wife went to see Georgia because they'd been having marital problems. He tells investigators he and Kim have been together for the past 4 years.
My mom met Lenoris through social media. He told her that he had been watching her for years because Lenoris actually used to hang around my cousins on my dad's side, so I guess he used to see her a lot when we used to go to my great-grandmother's house.
At the time, Kim was a single parent with a teenage daughter and an infant son. A year into their relationship, Lenoris and Kim had a baby of their own.
Linares was actually a traveling construction worker. He decided to stop that and, you know, just be home all the time to be around his family. You know, he began to be the stepfather that me and my little brother needed in our life.
In June 2015, Linares and Kim got married. Linares took a job at a solar company in Bainbridge, Georgia.
He loved her. She loved him. She loved him, too. They was this lovey-dovey couple. I'm like, okay, so this is what it's going to be forever. I guess we're going to be a family.
But just when it seemed like the family had achieved their happily ever after, Linares was dealt a devastating blow.
Kimberly Linares had some financial troubles even while Linares had the good job, but it seemed to escalate after Linares' employment terminated.
It did become a general, a whole bunch of arguments, fights, fussing. It got worse and worse and worse.
Linares tells investigators that their financial situation caused major strain in their relationship, and he wanted to do whatever he could to get his marriage and his life back on track.
Linares really wanted that relationship to work and believed that there was extraneous problems.
Georgia, she had been seeing Kim and Linares in a counseling capacity.
Y'all know she was that rushed.
No, I don't know. No, I don't know what
you're doing. You
didn't know? No. We don't know. We thought she was a preacher.
She do spiritual work. Okay.
You kind of talk about that.
You know what spiritual work is?
Not really.
Linares explained that he and Kimberly were seeing Georgia for spiritual healing, or what's commonly known as root doctor.
When someone puts roots on you, they're putting some sort of control over you.
Be like voodoo. It would be forcing someone to do something they don't know they're doing. They're using some kind of, you know, potion of curses and the jinx.
Linares was seeing Georgia specifically because he had had bad roots put on him. Linares' ex-girlfriend put bad roots on him, so we asked him to explain how the bad roots were put on him.
She told me that she was like, this woman buried your draw. I'm like, huh? What? She said the woman buried my draw. So I asked her.
Linares says his girlfriend was mad at him that he had gotten married to Kimberly, and she was jealous. And in a jealous rage, she took his underwear, I think buried it, along with fingernail clippings and maybe some menstrual fluid, and put a curse on Mr. Williams. Part of the reason that Linares and Kimberly Williams went to see Ms. Green is because in the religious doctrine of roots, in order to have a curse lifted, you have to have a religious leader that's more powerful or more established than the original one that put the curse on the person.
And we asked her, can she get me cured for that?
Linares explains that Georgia offered to help the couple.
They were paying her money for prayers and various mixtures of potions or herbs to help get the bad roots off of them.
She did a thing,
mm-hmm.
And it like we were prospering, but we wasn't. We paid time money.
Who's we?
Me and Kim.
Okay.
We supposed to, you know, prosper, you know, a good marriage, me a career, her career, and whatever she wanted to do. But it's like it wasn't prospering.
Linares didn't feel that Georgia's services were helping them in any way, and they were both angry at Georgia for not helping them properly.
One of the things in criminal law that we always do is establish motive, opportunity, and means. What established the motive is they basically were mad and thought that Ms. Green had swindled them out of their money and that she had not given them the blessings that they deserved for giving her the cash.
Coming up, with their suspects in focus, lovers will turn against each other.
Okay. Ready?
Ready.
He did it to that woman.
That hurts, don't it?
Hurt by what?
To hear her say something like that you know ain't the truth, right? So why don't you tell me the whole story?
And a captivating witness sets the record straight about what really happened.
That changed the whole ballgame.
After the brutal stabbing of 61-year-old Georgia Green, investigators learn that Lenoris Williams may have had a reason to harm her. When they interview his wife, Kim, she provides them with a noticeably different version of events.
What happens when you get to Miss Georgia's house? What happens
I was asleep.
She advised that Lenoris tells her he wants her to ride with him. She had had a headache, taken a couple of Benadryls to ease her off. She was drowsy, had been asleep, got up, got in the vehicle, slept on her way there, and didn't really know where they were going or what they were doing.
They got to Georgia's, and she was basically napping in the car and doesn't really know what happened.
So you go to sleep, go back to sleep. What happens when you wake back up?
When I wake up, I see like fire. Mm-hmm. You know, I see like fire. Like I'm like, what the hell going on? You know, what the hell going on? So I'm jumping out the truck. I don't know what's going on here and stuff. And he came running from running. I said, what's going on? He was like, I'm trying to help her out the house. You know, he was like, I'm trying to help Miss George out the house or whatever. I said, what's going on?
Kim offers no corroboration for her husband's story about seeing a suspicious man in a blue vehicle. The only man she places at the scene of the crime is her husband, Lenoris.
Lenoris was in the house.
And you. Y'all both in the house. Right.
Lenoris was in the house. I told you.
And you were in the house. Right?
No, I wasn't.
Well then now, let's talk the truth then. Tell me what really happened.
He did it. He did it to that woman.
I know he did. But I also know that you were in that house, right? Yes.
He did it.
Yeah, but you were in the house, weren't you? Kim?
Yeah, he did.
So Kim, you still not gonna tell me the truth?
I told you everything you want to hear.
She just kept saying repeatedly, that's all I've got to say, that's all I've got to say. So we terminated the interview with Kimberly.
Authorities hold both suspects in custody while they continue to gather evidence.
I obtained a search warrant to search Kimberly's purse. We found a notebook with some writings about Georgia Green. The writings seemed to be aggressive or angry in nature towards Georgia. We also found a discount store receipt where a knife and a roll of duct tape was purchased earlier in the morning of the day of the incident.
Investigators followed up with that receipt and got the video from that discount store of Lenoris purchasing duct tape and a knife. And this relates back to the knife found in the house fire.
I actually purchased the same knife that Lenoris purchased, and the knife that I purchased was later compared to the knife that we recovered at the fire scene. And the knives were visually similar in size and shape to each other.
Investigators confront Lenoris Williams with the new evidence.
I'm here to hear from you and for you to tell me, and you know, if something went astray that wasn't as planned, then that's fine, but that's, now is your time to tell me.
I mean, like, what you talking about, like, if it is, like...
You know what that is?
That's a knife.
They showed him the evidence of him purchasing the knife and the duct tape. He started to change his story from no involvement to, yes, he did go in the house.
Lenoris claims that he had gone to Georgia's house to confront her about the cost of her services.
We paid one to help us, like, it was $375. Then one time we paying $150 online, I don't see no improvement.
So what were y'all going out for yesterday?
We gonna go by there and ask, talk. We gonna talk to her.
I know y'all went out there, just like you said you did, to talk to Miss Jordan. And you asked her, like a straight, honest man, to get the roof off of you and let you and your wife prosper and live your life the way you're supposed to. And she wouldn't do it, would she?
She said we had to start all the way back home.
Georgia explained that they could start over with the healing process, but it would require another monetary fee, which Lenoris and Kimberly didn't have. Things in the room escalated, and an argument ensued. Lenoris described the chain of events as Georgia being more aggressive and that Georgia attacked him, therefore he stabbed Georgia in self-defense.
Why did you take a knife and duct tape with you?
Because I planned I was going to duct tape up, but I didn't do it.
Okay, what were you going to use the knife for?
Brenda, but I didn't do it. She charged me for it.
Okay.
With my mind, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this.
He did say that he took the knife in his pocket, that he had the duct tape in his britches when he went into Miss George's house, and that whatever happened there, he had done in self-defense, and that Kimberly was not part of it.
Lenoris, I appreciate you coming clean on some of the stuff, but I still don't think you're telling me the entire truth. And that's what I'm here is to.
I'm telling you.
I'm here to collect the facts, Lenoris.
I'm telling the truth.
And what you're telling me is just, it's still not adding up completely.
Investigators shift the focus of the conversation to Kim Williams.
From talking to Lenoris, it was very clear that he was deeply devoted to Kimberly and that he would do things for her. And one of the things that we explained to him was Kimberly didn't share that devotion.
You and I both know that there's more to this as far as her knowledge.
Y'all have spoke with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all have spoke with her.
And she's throwing you under the bus.
She's throwing you straight under the bus.
The investigator played a portion of one of Kimberly's recorded interviews where she was laying the blame on Lenoris.
Okay. Ready?
Ready.
I'm not around this with you.
Well, then now let's talk the truth then. Tell me what really happened.
When we played the portion of the recording from Kimberly's interview, Lenoris completely changed.
He did it. He did it to that woman.
Believe me now?
I believe you.
He was upset by how Kimberly talked to us, and ultimately Lenoris decided to come clean.
She stabbed Georgia.
Huh?
She stabbed
Georgia. He told that she did take part in stabbing Miss Georgia, that she knew what they were going to do when they went there, that she was involved much more than Kimberly let on that she was involved.
Why did Kim stab Georgia?
She broke up a marriage. You can never be happy.
Kimberly seems to be the driving force behind this whole incident. She seems to be the one that has the control and manipulation over Lenoris.
He was so wrapped up in all of this and believed that Miss Georgia was creating problems between he and Kimberly, but he did not want to lose Kimberly, so he did whatever Kimberly thought they should do to resolve the problem. And they went there planning to do harm to Miss Georgia.
Despite Lenoris' claims that his wife stabbed Georgia, Kim maintains her innocence.
Kimberly says that, you know, it was Lenoris' idea, it was his plan. At this point, it's partially a he said, she said scenario.
Investigators arrest both suspects on a charge of attempted murder. But they still don't have a clear understanding of what happened to Georgia Green on April 24th. Then, on May 8th, a family's prayers are finally answered.
I slept for 8 days, and I woke up. They said that was close to death or whatever, but it never dawned on me because I got so much faith, you know what I'm saying? I got so much faith in the Lord that He would deliver me.
Weeks after, she was attacked and left for dead in her burning home. 61-year-old Georgia Green miraculously recovers, and police are finally able to speak with her.
Once we learned that the breathing tube had been removed, myself and Investigator Griffin traveled to Dothan to attempt to interview Georgia. She was able to give us a lot more details and explain more of what happened.
I had 3 or 4 people that morning. Kimberly and Lenore's waited. All the rest of my clients left, and they showed up there. When they came in, I told them, I said, I can't talk to y'all right now. And he's saying, well, we're just coming by to see how you doing. I said, I've been doing good like that. And the girl didn't say nothing. He was doing all the talking. And then he jumped up. He grabbed the bowl off my desk, and he went to hit me. Crawled the head with it. He said, where the money, bitch? And I said, I don't have no money here. I stood up, and when I stood up, she come out with a 9. She stabbed me around the neck, in my back, close to my heart, anywhere she could stab me. And so I fell on the floor. When I fell on the floor, I got up on the desk. They thought I was dead. They were pulling all the paper and stuff out my drawer, throwing everything all over the floor. They were just throwing stuff, cussing one another. And he said, get the gas. They sprinkled gas all on the wall, everywhere, all the glass, everywhere, pulled gas all over me. So they went in, they lit it up. It was burning.
After Lenoris and Kim fled her home, Georgia realized she didn't have much time.
A lot of people don't understand how I got up. It had to be God. It had to be God. I went out there behind the house and I sit down. I ain't said nothing. I just, you know, sit in a spot.
As with anything, there's still unanswered questions. But as far as who is the person or people that assaulted Georgia, it was clear that it was Lenoris and Kimberly.
When I do my counseling, I take people as my family, not looking at, you know, the bad side. I look at everybody good. And that would really bother me is how good I was to them. And that's how they repaid me.
Lenoris and Kim Williams are both indicted for attempted murder, aggravated assault, and arson. They face 60 years in prison. Then, on January 26, 2020, one day before Lenoris Williams' trial is set to begin, a surprising new development unfolds.
Lenoris decided to enter a guilty plea. He was not given any promises of leniency. He entered what's called a blind plea, which means that he admits to the accusations, and it's up to the judge to sentence him. Part of the agreement was that Lenoris would give a full debrief of what happened and agree to testify against Kimberly.
Faced with the news that her husband has turned against her, Kim Williams enters her own guilty plea the very next day.
Ms. Williams had to admit that she did, in fact, stab and burn down the house of Ms. Green. So that was one great thing about the plea, was she had to finally take responsibility. After we were able to look at all the evidence, it became pretty clear that Kimberly couldn't do it without Lenoris, and Lenoris couldn't do it without Kimberly. And both of them had such strong religious convictions and beliefs in this roots that it just overtook maybe any kind of sense of rationality that either one of them may have had to start with.
In the end, they each got 40-year sentences. Lenoris, I think, was genuinely in love with Kimberly. I think he wanted that relationship to continue, and when Kimberly told him it was over unless you solved this problem with Miss Georgia, it induced him to do as she said and go buy a knife and duct tape and get gas to burn the house.
I believe that Lenoris did do everything and she was dragged into it. If my mother did have a part of it, I believe that he forced her.
This whole incident is completely senseless and tragic. Georgia, you know, lost her home. Georgia lost some of her physical abilities to do things due to her injuries.
My mother had, in the beginning, she had some bad days and she had some good days. But she kept praying and built the strength to keep going on.
A lot of people wouldn't have survived what I went through with. What I went through with, they couldn't even made it out of that fire. And that's why I say I'm blessed to be, you know, be able to overcome, to be able to walk again. And I'm still counseling people. And that's why I say I'm blessed. I hope that I'll be able to go on with my life and continue to do the will of the Lord and keep on being blessed while I am healing.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Allow your imagination to be piqued by stories that are brought to life through captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. As an Audible member, you'll be able to keep your heart rate up month after month because you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. If you're in the mood for a shocking psychological thriller, check out None of This Is True by Lisa Jewell. Embrace brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.